You seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This psalm, as Ken said, is written by David. And there are two main themes that are in this psalm. Fear in combination with confidence, and waiting. And you have to wait till the last verse to get to the waiting part of the psalm. It's connected to the psalm that comes before it. And so if you want a more complete version, read that psalm and then into this psalm as well. So a question I have for you, what are you afraid of? You don't have to say it out loud. What are you afraid of? Some people are afraid of running out of money. Some people are afraid for their health. They're afraid for people they care about. I had my sister fly, on Friday. She flew to North Carolina for her 50th high school reunion, which gave me pause because I'm 5 years younger. It's not that far. but she sent me a text. She said, I'm in the airport about to board the plane, and I'm wondering if there's going to be a shooter here. And she said, how sad. And I thought, yeah, that 10 years ago, 15 years ago would never cross our minds. And I wrote her back and I said, unlikely, but yeah, it's sad. It's sad. She arrived safely and it was fine, but there's a lot of fear in our world today. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, and sometimes we may find ourselves afraid. Did David understand fear? Do you know who David was? Okay, who was David? Somebody help me out. A king. He was the king. What else was he? What else do we know about him? He was a shepherd. Kent, a will. That's right. Okay, so there's the story. Okay, so Saul was trying to kill him, and Saul was the king before. And so did he have reason to get fear, to be afraid? Okay, so he mentions fear, meaning being afraid, 9 times in the Psalms. 9 times. So it's there. Now, fear is used in the Psalms many, many more times, but it's fear of the Lord, which is not being afraid of God. It's being in awe of God. So that you have to kind of, I had to study it and go through and say, okay, so which kind of fear is this? And if I'd had time, which I didn't, to go to every single fear in every single Psalm that is mentioned, the Hebrew words are different. Okay, so different kind of fear. 5 additional times, David writes about being afraid in the Psalms. So, as Mercedes said, what David's life before he was, after he was anointed king, was full of situations where he could have been very afraid. He feared for his life because Saul was trying desperately to kill him. How about confidence? Did David have confidence in the Lord? Did he have confidence? Ken's nodding. How do you know, Ken? Well, you're right, but he's proclaiming confidence in that psalm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. 1 Samuel 17:26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he talking about? Goliath. And then a little further in 1 Samuel, David said to the Philistine, read Goliath, "You come against me." Now, I want you to picture something. David's scrawny. He's not tall. He's scrawny. And he's basically about Camden's age, maybe a little bit older than Camden. Okay, so Camden's a little taller than I think David was. And he's facing Goliath, who is said to be at least 9 feet tall and huge, huge dude, right? So me, I'd be like, what? You know, staring up. So this is what David says to him. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." I'm thinking he was confident. I'm thinking he was really confident. And yet he's surrounded by an army of Israelites who are shaking in their armor. They didn't have armor. Shaking in their shoes. Okay? The Philistines in that time were known for being a powerful force. They were the only ones that had access to armor. Okay? That hadn't yet come to the Israelites. They were fighting with wood swords. Okay? Not with this fancy stuff. And so the odds were against them. And nobody was willing to face this guy, but David, the shepherd boy, comes. And I love this. I'd love to have seen this speech, this kind of faith. It's like, you're going to pay today because the Lord is with us. How about waiting? Did David know about waiting? Okay, you spoke to this, Mercedes. He was anointed king at age 16. He became king at age 30. Would you begin to doubt that you heard it right? It's like, wait a minute. God said I was going to be king, and this guy, he's trying to kill me. Wow. So yeah, he knew these things that he writes about in Psalm 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Oh my goodness, that's a great set of verses to write down and put on your refrigerator. Because every time that you're feeling worried, every time that you're scared about something, every time, if you read those verses, there's power in those verses. Let me take you through a few of these things, these few of these words that are used in this psalm, to maybe make a more full picture. So what's a stronghold? What's a stronghold? A safe place. Thank you, Doug. It's a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, and strength. And one of the words that is used to translate the Hebrew is a fortress. Wow, with God. We're in a fortress. Is that a powerful image? It is for me. Fortress. What about confident? In verse 3, he says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." To be confident means to trust that. Trust somebody, trust a situation. It's to have confidence, right? But I love this. It's to be bold, like David was with Goliath. Not just to go, I'm sure God's going to take care of this, but to be bold and proclaim it. To be totally secure. That's the kind of confidence here. How do you act when you're confident? Hopefully all of us experience confidence sometimes. How do you act? Okay, not distracted by those around her that don't see what she sees. Did I get that right? Okay, thank you. So am I to take this that you're never confident? You have boldness? Okay. You know that you're right. What'd you say?
Joyous.
Peaceful. This is a tough kind of confidence. That's what, the boldness and knowing. There's a knowing in it. And yeah, that brings a peaceful thing. That brings joy. David's confidence is obvious in the Goliath story. He wasn't just sure of himself. As I read, he's tremendously bold. The word seek happens four times in the passage. What does David seek? What does he look for? What is he trying to get to? There were three things. What was he seeking? The Lord, God's face. Okay. He was seeking to live in the house of the Lord all of his life and to find God at home. He said to find God in his house. Okay, those three things. And then the word wait. Dwell in the house of the Lord. Not the word wait. How can David dwell in the house of the Lord? What does that mean? What's the house of the Lord? Okay, so a church. You think of a church, okay? So, but at this point, there is no house of the Lord. It doesn't exist. Do you know who built the temple around this time, a little bit later? Did you say it? Thought I heard it. Solomon built it. Solomon, David's son. David desperately wanted to build it. God said, no. Your son's going to build it. It's interesting that there are four places mentioned in this psalm that David wanted to encounter the Lord. The first is the house of the Lord. The second is the temple. The third is a dwelling. And the fourth is a sacred tent. All of those images are in this psalm, and David is looking for the Lord in all of them. The house of the Lord, could it be that what he is saying is, I really want to build you that temple, Lord, so that you'll be there. So that you'll be there. Maybe. Maybe. But it's interesting, the word for house, the Hebrew word, is often translated household. Household. The family. Could it be that David is saying he wants to be part of God's family, to be able to be with him as a family member? Very possibly, that's what that one translates to. A temple? Yeah, it's a temple. It's a structure. And yes, David really does want to build one for the Lord. Dwelling starts to get interesting. A dwelling is a hut or a booth. Remember we talked about when we were doing Nehemiah, that when they had that festival that lasted the 7 days and they built those temporary structures that Ken said he had experience building, you know, out of sticks and stuff like this. Very temporary. It's also a thicket of trees or a den where wild animals live. Interesting. And then the sacred tent is like a nomad's tent, wanderers. So it goes from household to a temple, to a hut, to a tent. I found that interesting. I don't know about you, but I found that really, really interesting. What can that be? David wants to be with the Lord as a family member, whether he's in a magnificent temple or a hut made of twigs and branches, or in a tent moving wherever God takes him. Because that kind of tent was meant to be moved from place to place. It's the only thing he asked for. It's the only thing he wants. And while he is with God, he wants to see God's face. God's face. What does God's face look like? Seeing God's face means having God's favor, having God be pleased. It's also often translated as God's presence. Do you want God to be with you? That's seeking God's face. David is desperately wanting to be in the presence of his God. Are we desperate for him? There are lots of verses about God's face. I chose three of them for you. Numbers, well, technically four. Numbers 6, 25 to 26 is familiar to many of you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, which is another word for face, to you and give you. Yeah, I told you. I knew. And then 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. All the time, seeking God's presence. And then a negative one, Psalm 88:14, O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? Have you ever felt like God is absent? I have. Have you ever felt he just decided to leave you for a while? This is David's psalm here. And again, it's not physical face, our cute faces. It's not our cute faces. It is his presence that he is seeking. I love verse 13. It says, I remain confident, that good word again, of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of you believe you'll see the goodness of the Lord in heaven? Some of you didn't raise your hands. Wow, you don't think you'll be good in heaven? I don't want to go there. If it's not 100%, man, I don't want to go. Okay? Yeah, hello. We can be confident. But how many of you believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord before you die? Most of you, I like it, Doug. I already have. That's perfect. So goodness is translated as fairness, beauty, joy, prosperity, and then goodness. How many of you believe you'll see God's justice in this lifetime? Not quite as many. Not quite as many. How about his beauty and joy? I hope you already have, like Doug said, I hope you have. How about prosperity? Let me share what that word is. It's the word shalom. The word shalom is, you know what it's translated in English, to be peace, right? But it's the kind of peace that is the peace that passes all understanding. It's that deep, deep peace. How many of you believe you will or have experienced that? Okay? This is David's confidence. God has him. God has his circumstances, no matter what. Even if he's trapped in a cave with Saul, and Saul has an army to kill him, he has confidence in the goodness of God. And then waiting. Do you like to wait for things? I'm going to confess something that most of you figured out already, I'm not good at it. I hate waiting for things. I've been told my pace is too fast. Can't help it. Just can't help it. It's who I am. It's who I am. I don't want to wait. I can wait for the Lord. I just find it hard to wait for people. That's who I am. Okay? How many of you believe me? What I just said. You don't believe me? Do you think my pace is okay? You're going, I'm not saying anything. So where do we do a lot of waiting? Anybody been in the wrong line at the grocery store? How do you do with that? Me? Ugh, every time I pick the wrong line. You never think that way, but I do. I had a video I was going to show, but I didn't get it to George in time, my fault. But there was, how many of you saw the movie Sing? Any of you see the movie Sing? You should see it. We should watch it as a church. Maybe I'll put it on in my house. Sing is animals in a singing competition. And I bought it when I was teaching. It had just come out. And I saw that movie because at the very end of the year, school year, I showed it to all of my classes. That was 15. I saw that movie 15 times. And I got really tired of it, except for this one scene that I wanted to show you. Maybe sometime I'll have it and pull it up for you. How many of you know what the mascot is for children's ministry downstairs? It's a sloth. How fast is a sloth? Okay, so in this, you can look it up on YouTube if you do that sort of thing. Just put in sloth sing, and you'll pull up the clip I was going to show. Okay, so this very, very, very fast and impatient bunny that I relate to really well comes in to the Department of Motor Vehicles. How many of you have ever been frustrated with the Department of Motor, and how long you have to wait? I've actually done well in Massachusetts, but in Washington, I'm sure some of my hair turned gray while I was waiting. It was really tough. And so you go in, and it's like, could you please hurry up? Well, in Sing, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Never get tired of it. I will probably watch it 20,000 times because it makes me laugh every single time. She, the fast bunny and the fox, whatever, doesn't matter, go in because they need information from the guy at the DMV. And they walk in the door and she sees the staff. She said, they are all sloths. And so the clip, everything is slow. And she is dying. It's so hard. It's one of the best things about waiting I've ever seen. You really should see. It's very funny. So, airport delays. I've had a lot of those lately. They're no fun. Delays getting things in the mail, waiting for something, waiting, 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 waiting. Anything else that's hard to wait for? Besides cures for people. I'm more thinking just annoying things. Oh, forget that, Claire. I gave up on that for myself a long time ago. Anything else?
When you're on the highway and, you know, there's one lane traffic.
I completely forgot about traffic. It's hard. It's hard. The hardest, though, I think, is waiting for God to move. How many of you have ever experienced that? And those that didn't raise your hand, I know you understand it, because there are things that we want from God. And when He's slow, it can be very, very, very frustrating. I was, when I was in the Pacific Northwest and I began my call, I had, and I may have shared this before, I had so many people say, you know, God has plans for you to be working at the denomination. You know, we just know this with what your skills, your background. We know this is going to happen. I'm going, cool. Because these were very spiritual people, so I could count on their discernment. And so I'm going, wow, this is going to be fun. That was 2005. I started working for the denomination last year. And I had given up. I was perfectly happy just being here. And then God brought John Marshall to us to do a workshop, and that's all she wrote. And now I get to do it, and now I'm telling him not so much. Okay, it's too much. I'm trying to set some boundaries. But I'm like, oh my goodness, how faithless I was. I didn't have enough confidence for that. But it's normal. But it's kind of funny. During that time, I got cards in the mail randomly from people with that verse, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. I learned to hate those words. Somebody painted it for me for Christmas on a plaque. Somebody else bought it framed. And it's like, people! But over time, it became comforting. Be strong, Don't give up. Wait for the Lord. Take heart. Don't get discouraged. Wait for the Lord. He is going to act. And I love that David, in the midst of this waiting to become the king he was anointed to be, can say that with such passion. Such passion. He says it in other psalms. In Psalm 135, he says, I love this, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. That's where our hope belongs. In his word and his promises. Psalm 33:20, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And there are more. There are more. I want you to listen to this psalm. The whole psalm. You can do it. You can do it. Remember when we talked about reading scripture all morning once? We're going to come back to that one day. This is the message version. And I don't use this very often, but this was fun. So listen to this and see if this touches you in a different way. Light, space, zest. That's God. So with him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one and nothing. I like that. When vandal hordes ride down ready to eat me alive, those bullies and tough people fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I'm as calm as a baby. When all heck breaks loose, that's not what it says, I'm collected and cool. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. God holds me head and shoulders above all who try to pull me down. I'm headed for his place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God songs. I'm making music to God. Listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me. Answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking him. Don't hide from me now. You've always been right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You've always kept the door open. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. Point me down your highway, God. Direct me along a well-lit street. Show my enemies whose side you're on. Don't throw me to the dogs, those liars who are out to get me, filling the air with their threats. I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. I love that. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Be confident. He will be there no matter what. Stay with God. Take heart. And don't quit. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, help us to wait. Help us to wait with confidence and without fear, knowing that your plan for us is better than anything we can ask or imagine. Lord, help us as a church to do the same, to wait for your direction with confidence that you are with us, that anything that you want to have happen will happen. Lord, thank you for David and his heart for you that led him to write so many of these psalms. Let us learn from their wisdom. Let us be encouraged. It's in your name we pray. Amen.